The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
And now, Sports Talk 1240.
Hey, everybody. It's Sunday night, 8 o'clock. It's time for Sports Talk 1240 on 1240 AM WGBB, broadcasting from our West Babylon studios. Gary Harding with John Panarese. And in the first hour, since it's been a 90-degree day here on New York and Long Island, it's time to talk about something a little bit cooler. You know, we got away from it most of the summer, John. But
yeah,
you know,
we managed to.
We got through it. You know, we went through baseball, and we're not going to talk about what happened with the Mets this weekend because it was pretty disgusting. But they didn't lose any ground to the Washington Nationals, and that's important. They're still 4.5 games ahead of going on a 9-game road trip. The Yankees got back into first place this weekend, taking 2 or 3 from the Toronto Blue Jays. They're back a half game ahead as they come home. And like I said, it's the middle of August. We're sweating. It's tough on the air conditioner, but you know what? It's time to talk hockey.
That's right.
Okay? And we are opening up the phone lines tonight for you guys to talk about the game of puck. So if you want to give us a call to Sports Talk 1240, the phone call number you can reach us is area code 631-888-8811. So, John, how you making through this summer?
Air conditioning.
Quite a bit of it. It is the theme. It's definitely the theme of the month. It's been, been a pretty interesting couple of weeks in the baseball world. You know, you and I both being Met fans, we've been pretty happy with what's going on.
Up until this weekend. All of a sudden, the bullpen just can't hold leads games.
A.K.A. Bobby Parnell.
Yeah, two losses.
Two losses, and I think the infield completely blew their minds out and just forgot what they had to do. So I turned off the TV and discussed this afternoon, but let's again talk about the team we love so much, New York Islanders. that was a joke. That was not a Freudian slip. Come on, guys. So don't rip on me. If you want to reach us on the Twitterverse, at G Harding WGBB and at Hockey Blindside.
Right.
Again, we're taking your call 631-888-8811.
And I know there's people who threaten me all the time who always say they're going to call into the show. So if you're listening, actually follow through with your threats for a change.
Yeah, now's the time. I mean, like I said, plenty of open lines. And before, I can't be remiss without saying, John, happy 2-year anniversary.
Oh, that's
on
right.
Sports Talk 1240 WGBB.
I cannot believe it.
It was 2 years ago this weekend that we did our debut show. I was even going to try to get Jigs to come on. I know, he was on Facebook, and I was trying to message him before, but I didn't get him. So he was our first guest, and very nicely came on and talked the preseason with us, and that made us push our way to be the Islander guys of WGBB.
That's right.
And again, we're still going to be, despite the fact that unfortunately, you don't get to go to as many games as I do, but I think we'll be going to probably about almost the same number this year. Although we did get the booster club that I'm involved with, we did get tickets. We got 55 tickets to opening day, but the top row of the building for group seats was $95 a ticket. Ouch.
Jeez.
Ouch. That's 150% of what I paid for my regular season tickets last year.
Why is it that expensive?
Well, you have to think about it in this logical sense for the Barclays Center, okay? As soon as the puck gets dropped on October 9th when the Islanders take on the Chicago Blackhawks for their opening game of the season, they get $50 million.
Wow.
Okay, now think about that. I mean, for all these years that they had to suffer with having to pay rent to SMG to an inferior, completely inferior management group that ran that building. I mean, we all know the stories about what Billy Joel thought about him.
Right.
You know, before he had his last concert, and he made sure it was done after August 1st so they weren't in the building because he wanted no part of them whatsoever. So not only they had to pay rent to that kind of a building, they had to basically pay, I think, the county like 11% of every ticket that they sold in the complex. So they were giving all that extra money. They were putting money into the building, and we all know the condition of the building.
Right.
Okay. I mean, no place better to see a game, but to be at the game was a completely different story.
Right, yeah.
So now this team, when they get the puck dropped in the beginning of the season, a check for $50 million goes their way. I mean, come on. This turned the team from dead black, you know, from dead red to almost in the black.
Right.
That's
a good thing.
And with the salary cap league and being able to manage your funds and be able to do what you got to do to put that proper team on the ice, Garce had that opportunity. Now he has the opportunity. Most people that you look on the boards will say the Islanders didn't do that much. Nobody expected him to do that much, but you know what? I mean, when you really come down to it, and again, take the Islander blinders off your eyes for a minute. Oh, no pun intended, John. But take the blinders off for a second and look at it from an actual hockey fan standpoint. You look at the makeup of this team. A young team, a hungry team, a fast team. They got scoring, they've got decent defense, and they've got a solid goaltender who had probably one of his best seasons ever.
Right, yep.
What more? I mean, yeah, you could put little extra pieces in there, but did you really need to acquire a top six center?
No.
Top six forward.
And do you want to disrupt the – but, you know, you got to be careful at this point about disrupting chemistry, you know, especially on the offense.
Exactly.
When you got, 14, 15 NHL, you know, forwards going to be battling for a job – you know, especially if Grabner is healthy.
We're crossing fingers
yeah.
right now. If you can see on the cam, we are crossing fingers.
Yeah.
you've got a lot of X factors involved. Again, your injury situation, as you just mentioned. You got guys that had – some guys did have disappointing seasons. And, you know they're going to want to
bounce back.
They're
going to be
Grabner,
fighting for jobs.
Exactly. And you know what? That's what you want. And you got guys that are hungry, ready to come up too.
On the
defensive side of the puck. And with all due respect, I am going to miss number 46, and you know how much I defended him up and down, left and right. But I'm still on talking relations with his mother, and I still will be, and I'll be rooting
for him. I want him to succeed.
Him to succeed, too. I want him to show, hopefully, as we've done in the last couple of years, that we've had Garce Snow come on before the season starts. Our next show, I believe, is September 20th. I know John may not be here, but I am going to try to see if I can get Garth to come on and talk about some of the situations and you know what was going on in the minds of the Mind Trust, especially with that Matt Donovan situation. Because you know you sit there and you watch a kid, and I watched a number of practices and watched him be as tough on himself as he could, working as hard as he could, and just couldn't crack the lineup.
And he played well when he was in the lineup, especially the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, but again, I understand the situation that he was in. You look at guys like Ryan Pulock, who are ready to step up. I mean, to me, are NHL capable right this second. You got Scott Mayfield, who had an unbelievable last three games
in
the playoffs. And
he made his
mark. And you know me, I've been talking about him for 2 years, too, and saying he's got that nasty streak. He's got the ability to put the puck in the net. He can handle the puck well. He works in all three zones, and he's the type of guy you really want. And you know, with no disrespect to Griffin Reinhart, he just didn't want to work. Didn't show it. Maybe it's not for saying he wasn't trying. I would never really want to say that about somebody. But, you know, he had the pedigree. He had the experience. He had that Memorial Cup. So he has the leadership role. But for whatever reason, it just didn't stand out in Bridgeport. And some of the people that follow Bridgeport on a daily basis told me, you know, they just didn't think he just expected to make the NHL. And when he didn't, you know, they didn't want to say so many words that he was whining, but there was a tone in his voice that didn't seem like he was happy with where he was. So, maybe going back to the scene of his, you know, junior glory in Edmonton will do something for him. And he's on a team that to me made probably one of the biggest upheavals or moving up the ranks as where you just were this week, the Buffalo Sabres as well.
Right.
I mean, they had 17,000 people for their rookie scrimmage when Jack Eichel was out there. So I'm sure the fans up there, not only are they excited about Rex Ryan talking his mouth up and down in Orchard Park where the Bills play, but to the Sabres as well, because they've made some upgrades in all facets of their game. And it's going to be a fun season to start off. I mean, some of these no spot is going to be guaranteed in either conference. Every team is going to have to bust their tails.
I don't see any team that really did any standout moves over the off season.
Yeah, especially in the division. Pittsburgh made a couple of deals.
Well, Pittsburgh, you know, they're still lacking a character player.
You don't think Phil Kessel's that character, huh?
Yeah, he's a character. If Phil Kessel decides to play, he could, you know, that'll be a line that will be a top line in NHL, but question
Crosby,
is
Kessel and whoever.
But then if Kessel doesn't play, then
we all saw it many a time in Toronto this year.
Toronto and, you know, whatever. I'm not a believer in that.
I mean, looking across the river to the Rangers again, I think the loss of Carl Hagelin is going to be a very difficult loss for that team. I can say now, as an Islander fan and not being a Ranger fan, I can now appreciate watching Carl Hagelin more because I really like the way he had a tendency to spark that team. Him and Zuccarello were the smallest of stature on that hockey club. They were to me guys that really, really can stir the game up and can turn the Rangers' favors into a positive. And, I think Hagelin's going to be very sorely missed. And the big question now is, you know, what's the backup goaltender situation going to be like in the Garden? I mean, you know, Cam Talbot was amazing. Cam Talbot did not just a yeoman job, but he did an admiral's job almost.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, he was one of the best hockey players in the league when he was on that role when Henrik was out with his injury.
Right, and he was the major reason why the Rangers didn't lose ground.
And gain ground.
And gain ground and end up winning the President's Trophy.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, you wonder what's going to happen. Who's going to take that step up? I can't remember the kid's name.
Ronta?
Oh, right.
From Chicago, Ronta?
Ronta, right. Now, will he be able to fill Cam Talbot's shoes? I mean, to me, the Metropolitan Division is going to be a crapshoot. I mean, there's five teams that could win this division quite easily. You know, I mean, you know, looking at us, the Islanders, looking at the Rangers, looking at the Penguins, looking at the Capitals, I should say four.
The Capitals, yeah, they definitely. That's the Capitals, one team that made some interesting moves.
I mean, they lose Mike Green, they pick up T.J. Oshie. They've made some moves, and if the chemistry works right with these guys, they
could be the team.
They very possibly, quite possibly, could be the team to beat. Again, if you want to give us a call on the show, we are going to be on until 9 o'clock, and we got a couple of other guys joining us at 9 p.m. Again, the number to call is 631-888-8811. So looking at the rest of the Eastern Conference, I mean, you look now towards the Northeast Division, Montreal with the great season of Carey Price. Can you expect a repeat?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one to repeat, but, you know, that's another interesting division. Boston certainly
Boston's
is not going to be
taking a major step backwards.
Yeah.
I mean, you heard the some of the Boston faithful was pretty animated and pretty upset when they had those three draft picks and really did nothing with them and picked guys who frankly were ranked 50th, 60th in the rankings, and if they don't somehow pull a major rabbit out of their behinds, They're pretty much behind the eight ball. I mean, you got to look at Tampa. Tampa's obviously the class of that division.
That's
I don't see any reason why they're not going to be. You know, it was a pretty difficult pill to swallow losing to Chicago in the finals. They had a 2-2. You really thought the momentum was going to swing to Tampa's way, and it just didn't come through. Stamkos, although played well, didn't play the type of game that you would expect your leader to do.
But now they have the experience.
Exactly.
Know, like,
and that's what matters. I mean, it's the, you know, the same thing we were talking about with the Islanders. You know, they had that difficult year in 13-14, and they got that seven-game experience. Yes, they didn't win a round. But especially for these young kids to get that kind of, you know, that chutzpah to them and you know, get that under their belts.
And what was, you know, when Mike Bossy was at the Booster Club meeting, and one of the things, the points that sticks out in my mind that he said was, somebody asked him, I think it was, what do the Islanders need to do to get better or advance? And he said they got to learn how to lose first.
Exactly. To me, I mean, again, we all know the story. You look back to the 78-79 season when they lost to the Rangers. And the Rangers, of course, went on to go to the Stanley Cup Finals that year, losing to Montreal. The 77-78 season when they were the President's Trophy winners and lost to the Toronto Maple Leafs in overtime in Game 7. I think those are those 2 years that, as Mike reiterated, that they had to lose. They had to learn how to lose. before they learned how to win. And, you know, they barely made the playoffs that season in 80 and then took on a Philadelphia Flyer team that had a 35-game unbeaten streak.
Right, yep.
You know, and took them on. And we, of course, we all know what happened. But, so I think Tampa, the Islanders, those types of teams, they've got that now with that experience. That's why I say, you know, last year when we looked at when we were previewing the year, we thought that the Western Conference was going to be the ridiculous division. It turned out to be that way, but, I mean, basically, look what happened. It took 101 points for the Islanders to make it. They barely made it.
That's just amazing.
You know, usually, most years, it was 92, maybe 90, 91 would get you a playoff spot, but this year, it took almost every bit of that 100 points to get it.
100-point mark to make the playoffs, and that shows you the parity.
Yeah, and that's it. I mean, any team can gain 20 points in a year, and then the next year just fall right back flat on their faces. So it's gonna take a little bit of chutzpah for these guys. And you wonder what's, you know, and we're going to hopefully when we talk to Garth, we're going to see if there's something up his sleeve. Because obviously when we talked to him last year, you know, that was before they made
the trade. He never even.
The Saturday before the season started, he pulled in 30 minutes, you know, pulling those two guys, pulling Boychuk and pulling Letty. And you know, it's funny. I was sitting in my great room doing my fantasy draft, and all of a sudden we hear, you know, Boychuk just became an Islander, and then 20 minutes later, Nicoletti just became an Islander. Holy cow! So we wonder if he's got any tricks up his sleeve.
I always think back to the interview we did with him, and he just plays things so close to the vest. I mean, there was no indication whatsoever that he even had something like that on the radar.
Hey, Garth, you're listening. I want to play. I want to play poker with you sometimes.
I know.
I want to see what's up your sleeve, pal. But like I said, we hope to get to him. And, you know, we may actually, you know, for John's favor, and we're going to see if we can work it out, maybe we'll pre-record the interview so that we can have John do it as well. So that would be a nice thing, I know, because he's not going to be here when we do our next show. And I want to make a special shout-out to some of my friends over in the U.K. tonight. It is 1:20 in the morning in the U.K., everybody knows I have linked to a hockey club in England called the Sheffield Steelers, and they're going to be playing basically European hockey's version of the Champions League. Everybody knows what the Champions League is, that follows the sport of football or soccer. That's where all the top teams in all the countries get together and play a tournament as they're playing their regular season. So it's kind of like a little mini cup, and it starts in the beginning of the year and ends in like March or April. So the Sheffield Steelers got their two games that they're playing. They're playing for Frölunda, Sweden, and some other name that I'm not even going to try to pronounce in Finland because it's got about seven vowels in it. But good luck to Sheffield, and I know those teams got to come back and play in England in a couple of weeks' time. So we wish them luck again. A couple of former Islanders have made their way through Sheffield, so that's one of the reasons why I've been supporting them over the last.
Is there anybody on the roster from the Islanders this season? I know, remember Drew Fada was there.
Drew Fada left last year. I believe Mark Kadek, who played a couple years in Bridgeport.
Yep.
I'm not sure if he's still there because I know because most of the guys, a lot of the guys that go there, truthfully, when they go play in either in England or in Sweden or in Germany or Switzerland, they work out deals because almost all their games are on weekends. They don't play during the week. So they work arrangements out so they can get to they can do their graduate school work.
Wow.
So so I know in Mark Kadek's case, he was going for his master's degree at the University of Hallam, which is a big university right in the city of Sheffield proper. And he was taking classes during the day. Practicing it, they'd have practices at night, and then on Friday night they would, you know, because the longest trip for them is probably about 6 hours down into the southwest part of the country, or if they had to fly, they actually had to make a flight to Belfast, which is only really an hour flight, but
right.
Still.
Yep.
So they would do whatever they would do Friday and play Saturday and Sunday and come back for Monday so you could go back to school. So
that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's a very interesting situation because, again, you know, in most European countries, unless you're playing in the top leagues of Sweden or Switzerland or Germany, you're making decent money. But in most of the other countries, you're not. Basically,
yeah.
you're getting a flat or an apartment. You get a little buggy car, you know, I mean, really little, but they pay for your education. So that's a big thing. So
right. Don't blame them to take advantage of that.
Absolutely, you can't blame them for that at all. So. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick break, And when we come back, we're going to discuss something again, this little venture that I go to every year called the NHL Booster Club Convention. Hopefully some of my friends from across the country might be calling in to talk about their teams and what happened at the NHL convention in Nashville and where is it going to be next year. Well, we're going to talk about that on the second half hour of Sports Talk 1240 WGBB.
Sports Radio New York and AM 1240 WGBB are proud to announce the new Sports Talk 1240, along with the launch of a brand new website at sportstalk1240.com. Check out our new site for information about upcoming shows, as well as easy access to past shows, articles, our live studio webcam, and more. Of course, be sure to tune in to Sports Talk 1240 every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 1240 WGBB, or visit sportstalk1240.com for ways to listen to the live broadcast online or from your iPhone. We're excited about these new changes and hope you will be too.
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan, or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out, or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you can find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA. Or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240. Check us out every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on AM 1240 WGBB. And visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip chain, use mass transit, rideshare, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York, breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
And now, back to Sports Talk 1240.
And we're back for the second half hour of Sports Talk 1240, proudly sponsored by Country Foot Care of Mineola and East Williston. The doctors at Country Foot Care offer holistic, conservative treatment options backed by years of education and experience. For your convenience, they offer a full line of products to enhance and customize treatment plan and sometimes just to pamper your feet a bit. For information on Country Foot Care, you can call them at 516-741-FEET or visit countryfootcare.com. Brad is calling from Melville, and you're on Sports Talk 1240. Brad, and how are you tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you tonight?
Hey, what's going on, Mr. California Golden Seals?
Not much, man. I guess a little concerned about the Mets after the weekend. I mean, I understand they weren't going to stay as hot as they were in the last few weeks, but it's the way they lost, I think, that bothered me more than the fact that they were swept.
Do you think that putting after a rough outing for Parnell, it was right to get the horse back up on the on the stock and get him going again, but just for whatever reason, Pittsburgh had his number?
I tell you, I did not mind going back to him. I think that was a good idea. You want to establish that, you're not afraid to go to him. You want to keep his confidence up. But that throwing error was just so, it was just such a sloppy play all the way around. It just frustrates you. It was almost like the back of your mind, Met fans were all saying, uh-oh, here we go again, and that's the last thing this organization wants to think and feel.
But you know what? Through all that, as bad as they played, as horrible as they were, they lost no ground.
Which is beautiful.
Yeah, oh, it's amazing.
You couldn't have pictured any better scenario for them. What is up with Washington? All these losses, and they're now, what, are they at 500 or are they 100 now?
It's one or the other. They're right there, and you would think, with all the talent in that lineup, talk about a team that is less than the sum of its parts right now. The Washington Nationals have got to fit that description, but, you know, the thing is, you know, the Mets lose all three. If they win even one, the lead is bigger. If they would have won two over the weekend, they're sitting pretty. But, relieved that they did not lose any ground despite the struggles that they had.
And, you know, it's funny, the call that's going to come on after, because I already got word of it, and he's probably sitting on hold, and he's from San Jose, California right now, and I know he's going to give me a big thank, I'm going to give a big thank you out to him in a couple of minutes, because he's a huge Giant fan. So he did the job for us this weekend, and believe me, we appreciate it, right?
Oh, we most certainly do, and the Giants woke up at exactly the right time to help the New York Mets.
Exactly. Well, listen, Brad, I appreciate you getting us off the hockey pace for a minute, because I really had to get something out, and it was perfect you called in for it. I really appreciated it.
My pleasure.
All right, buddy. Listen, have a good one. We'll
catch you
preseason, all right?
Looking forward to it, guys.
All right. Be
take
good.
Easy, Brad.
All right. So we got Jim from San Jose, and Jim, right now, John and I just want to say thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Man, a few words, few options. Way to go. So listen,
we were figuring that, you know, the Mets needed a little bit of help this weekend, and the Giants need to get anything going too. So
what's the situation in the West right now? Where are they sitting?
The Giants or the Sharks?
No, first the Giants. How far are they behind L.A.?
2.5 games back of L.A., trying to get L.A. to lose a game eventually.
Yeah, eventually. But, yeah, holy crap.
We thanked them for the beginning of the week, you know, but...
Yeah, but of course they're playing Cincinnati a lot this weekend, and you can't really expect a whole lot of help there. But
So let's talk about the other side, the enigma known as the San Jose Sharks.
All right, I was hoping to talk about the Eastern Conference. That was a lot more interesting.
All right, well, from your perspective, again, we talked at convention in Nashville, and again, we mentioned about the NHL Booster Club convention, and Jim is a proud member, a proud San Jose season ticket holder for many, many years. And, I mean, what were your – let's put it this way. What were your expectations? And from what happened, do you think your team improved, stayed the same, or went a step down?
Ask me in March. Honestly – it's funny because there were three major transactions during the offseason, not counting the coaching change. And regarding the coaching thing, in my opinion, they still fired the wrong guy. I mean,
yeah.
They would have
held
on to McClellan and gotten rid of Doug Wilson. That would have worked a lot better.
We both agree on that.
Yep. But the thing that just puzzles me is, individually, when you look at any of the three transactions they made, they all made sense. Certainly Martin Jones is going to be a significant upgrade in the Nets. Thank God for that. I mean, last year was just a disaster. And Paul Martin's going to help a lot defensively, and certainly, you know, getting Ward's going to help a lot up front. But I don't understand why a team would go and acquire a 25-year-old goaltender who is still improving his game, will be better 2 years from now than he is now, and he'll be better the year after that. And then let's go and acquire two 36-year-old guys to go along with them. You know, it seems they're going in both directions at the same time.
Yeah, you don't know which way they're going to go. That's going to be interesting. I mean, do you think, just looking at, you know, your fellow teams in the Pacific Division, do you think that I know you're saying wait till March, but in your gut, you know, in the back of your mind, do you think you know, Anaheim, we know, is the class of the conference.
Anaheim is extremely good. And they're going to be doing nothing but getting better.
I totally agree. But do you think they've caught up with the rest of the division?
No. I think that I do buy into the talk in L.A. a little bit, that a lot of their reasons for their problems last year is they had played, what, 950 games in the last 3 years, something like that. You know,
it has to take a toll.
Right.
You know, and so I expect L.A. is going to be better. The one team in the division I think that really made a U-turn in the wrong direction this year is Vancouver. I don't see them be good at all. You know, and...
I would tend to agree. You know I'm a Canuck fan, so it doesn't... You know, the Sedin twins are getting older. They're getting no help. They've got a couple of young kids, but I don't think it's going to make a big difference. I think they're the team that's going to suffer. I mean, the team that's actually starting to scare me as they've gotten so much better last season is Calgary.
Yeah, Calgary's yeah.
Imagine what that team would have done in last year's playoffs with a healthy Giordano.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, you know, obviously Edmonton made a ton of moves and have gone in for the first time in I would say 7 or 8 years in the right direction.
Sports Radio New York and AM 1240.
Oops. Yeah, my goodness.
We're having a little technical difficulty tonight. Sorry about that, Jim. Go ahead.
No worries. But Edmonton now is starting to acquire something on defense. Certainly, you know, if they improve their goaltending immeasurably. And when you take a look at what they had up front to begin with, they went from a team that you could almost laugh at what they did every year to a team that really wouldn't surprise many people if they made the playoffs.
It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, I know how well he played for the Rangers, but having the load thrust upon Cam Talbot's going to be interesting to see how he handles it.
I agree with you much there. They also acquired some defensemen along the way.
Yeah, which, of course, I can't. I'm in baseball mode. I can't remember the deals that were made.
You know, it's funny. I'm just sitting here on my Facebook account, and I'm talking to my cousin, my nephew, who lives in Dallas, Texas. And, you know, it's funny you're mentioning about, you know, getting Martin Jones and basically saying bye-bye to Niemi, but he's given me a complete opposite thing, saying they're loving getting Niemi going because they thought they're saying the fact that they have the Dallas schedules, they have so many back-to-back games that they feel that, you know, I guess, I can't remember the guy's name, it's the goaltender in Lettinen, Carey Lettinen. Right, so they feel they've got a 1A, 1B situation, so maybe that might be the case.
Well, they certainly, Lettinen will be better not having to work every night, but I'd like to hear what he says after seeing Miami play for a couple of months.
I'm definitely going to mention that at this point, but all right, so anyway. Jim, I really appreciate you coming back. Are you feeling a little better on a personal note?
We're getting there.
Good. That's what I want to hear. That's what I want to hear, buddy. And before we let you go, just again, give me you mentioned a little bit about the convention. Just give me a quick minute perspective, because I got a young guy by the name of Andrew going to be coming on following you in a couple of minutes, and you know him very, very well.
Oh yeah, it's amazing every year. I mean, this year was first of all, you think, you know, how can you go wrong in Nashville? And it didn't go wrong at all. I mean, it was just fantastic. But I think the big thing that really never ceases to amaze me is here we get, 200-and-something people together this year. And it's like you see Ranger fans and Islander fans getting together for dinner. You see pictures being taken between the Ducks, Kings, and Sharks fans, you know. Usually, to get Ducks, Kings, and Sharks fans together in the same place without a punch being thrown, that's amazing.
No, you guys were drinking punch, not throwing punch.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
That probably had something to do with it, too.
that's all right. We're gonna use some of those pictures. I got one of those pictures, and we can use it for some background fodder next year. But I know you're coming to Long Island next year, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely, because you know who the host is, right?
Oh, last time I checked, you know, it's
some guy with initials GH.
Yeah, I heard about. I've heard of him before.
Yeah, and guess what? And you know what he said when he got that gavel, right? Yes, 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 yes.
What I'm looking forward to is trying to figure out how 200 people are going to crowd into Iceland Airport.
We'll manage. Don't worry about that. Don't you worry about that. You just get your plane reservations, and we'll be ready to take care of you. Listen, Jim, thanks very much for calling out in San Jose. Have yourself a good rest of the weekend, and we'll catch up very soon.
Jim.
Sounds good. Have a good one.
All right. And now we're going to go to a respective of the across the riverside.
Must we?
No, we do. No, this is a real good guy here. Andrew in New Jersey, you're on the line, Mom, buddy. How are you?
Hey, Gary. How you doing?
Good, good. Long time no talk. The parents look good and rested in Nashville this week.
Absolutely, and I mean they had a good excuse to be out there.
Yes, exactly right, and you know that as well. And I believe are you still going to be writing a little piece on your blog, and you're more than welcome to plug it right now.
I had tried to do that, but before I could get that piece out, the website went bankrupt.
Oh!
Ow.
That's the problems of working in the online media these days. So listen, well let's switch gears and let's, you know, we started talking a little bit about your team, which is the New York Rangers. He's a proud Ranger fan and a good Ranger fan, I might add, because unlike some people we know, we're making fun of one of the other hosts on the show, Andrew, so don't worry about it.
Okay.
Nah, and he's a good guy too, but anyway, so what do you think, looking at it now, a couple of months after free agency goes, do you think your team has basically leveled, has gone above or below?
I think it's pretty much the same team that we had last year. The big trades that we made on draft day, trading Carl Hagelin for Emerson Edom, that's basically a wash. You trade speed for speed. I mean, Edom, I think, has a little bit more size strength on Hagelin, but I loved Hagelin personally as a player and just as watching him from Michigan as well, because I'm a Michigan fan. And just when the Rangers had him, he was electric out there. He was a fan favorite. And, you know, we got Emerson Edom, which is, I feel like, a good pickup, especially because, you know, we really didn't give up a whole lot to get him. I was a little bit baffled by the Talbot trade, but the picks seem to have worked out for the most part. And Antti Raanta is a very solid backup who could be a starter. So the Rangers did get good with him. And the big free agency signing was Derek Stepan. I think he is probably the most underrated player on that team, especially with the way he performed in the playoffs this past season. Two big overtime winners against the Capitals in games 5 and 7. And just he really blossomed as not just a player, but a leader on this team, and especially somebody who can thrive in Al Vigneault's system.
Yeah, I got a great deal of respect for him in the past couple of months. I like the way he played, but to me, I know you say it, the one deal that really bothered me, and I mean, I know they got something for him, and they got picks for him, and they got Edom, and I think Edom's a serviceable player, but I think they're gonna, I really truly think they're gonna miss Hagelin more than you say. You know, I was jokingly saying, now I can really watch him he's the kind of guy, again, when he's on the other side of the rink from you, you know, even though he's in small stature, but again, his speed and his smartness. And again, I think it's a Red Berenson trait. You know, his experience playing in Michigan, those are the kind of guys you don't want to face.
Absolutely. Especially Hagelin is a savage on penalty kills. He had a few shorthanded goals last year, and if not, he was definitely setting them up.
Yeah, because again, you know, I put a comparison. To me, he's a little bit of a shorter version of Michael Grabner. His speed is ridiculous. I mean, I think they have to be two of the top three fastest skaters in the NHL, bar none.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, they went head to head in the fastest skater competition at the All Star Game or at Skills Competition Weekend, and I think Hagelin won because Grabner might have like stumbled coming over the blue line.
Exactly. Yep, you're exactly right. Yep, but it's again, we were talking about it in the beginning of our show. I think truthfully, there's five teams in this Metropolitan Division
that definitely can easily
have a shot to winning this league. Right. In this league.
Well, I think the front runners in the division have to be going back to the Penguins and the Capitals. The Penguins with their big pickup of Phil Kessel, who I think he got a bit of an unfair shake in Toronto because he was brought in to be this savior of this downtrodden franchise. They made the playoffs once while he was there, and then that epic Game 7 collapse in Boston, which,
oh yeah,
you know, watching that, that year was just
tough to swallow. It's tough to swallow, yeah.
And now he comes to Pittsburgh. He's going to be playing on a team with guys like Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, who are two of the best players in the league, in the world, regardless. And I think he's going to be able to do very well. And I think it's actually good that the Penguins got another big sniper in a guy like Kessel, because a couple of years ago when the Rangers went to the finals, the Penguins won the division in convincing fashion. And I said at the start of last season that the Penguins would not make the playoffs, and I came very close to being right because they lost a big component on their power play and their offense in James Neal.
Yeah.
Now they pick up another guy like Phil Kessel who can help out that team, who can help out Crosby and Malkin and take some of the stress off of them, especially when they're injured. The Capitals picking up PJ Oshie. I mean, sure, they lose Mike Green, but Green is a long way removed from his seasons of 40 and 50 points.
Yeah.
And they get a sniper in Oshie to put with guys like Ovechkin and Backstrom. And I think the Capitals are another big winner. And, you know, it almost killed me to say this as a lifelong Ranger fan and watching this team have some real, real success over the last few years, winning the Eastern Conference in 2012, finishing first in the conference in the regular season, and then winning the conference and going to the finals last season, this season winning the President's Trophy and falling just short against Tampa Bay. I don't know that the Rangers are going to host a game one in the playoffs if they make it this year. I really don't, because they have leveled off and the teams around them have gotten better. So it's going to be a bit of an uphill struggle for the Rangers.
We were saying earlier in the show, and I know you were saying, talking to you on Facebook, you weren't on. It was, to me, it was a complete surprise to realize that 101 points barely made the playoffs. I mean, are you under the same thought process as we are, that it might just take 100 points to make the playoffs again this year?
Absolutely. Like, I mean, the skill level of these teams is getting better, and the way that the divisions are set up, everybody's playing everybody more often, and with a little bit more disparity, so you don't, I mean, there are still spurts where you see the same teams over and over again. Like, the Rangers saw Tampa Bay 3 times in 11 games last year, and that was all they did in the regular season. But that's good for a team like the Rangers, who can lose 3 to Tampa and then turn it around and go off on the win streak and say, we don't have to play them again. So I think it's going to be a very strange thing, especially with these new overtime rules, too, that 100 points may not get you in the playoffs. We've used to seeing it in the West. Now we might have to see it in the East, too.
Right.
And you just brought up the 3-on-3 overtime. I mean, I am so looking forward to seeing that, because obviously we know it was experimented in the AHL. They did the 7-minute overtime, 3 minutes of 4-on-4 and 4 minutes on 3-on-3, and they cut the shootout percentage down by like 60, from 65% to like 25%. I'm looking forward to seeing. Again, this is where a guy like we were talking about, Hagelin, would thrive in a 3-on-3 situation. Don't you give him, extra couple of feet
ice,
of open,
right?
open ice and forget it.
Absolutely. I agree 100% that this 3-on-3 overtime, this is going to change everything, because now you used to have teams that would just try to make it through overtime and play defensive hockey. Now you can't do that, because if you line up against a guy like a Hagelin who gets all this open ice on a good outlet pass, you could be going from trying to defend just to get to a shootout to walking away without an extra point.
All right.
Okay, so lastly, before we let you go, Andrew, who do you think on the Rangers is going to be your unsung guy, somebody that's just going to come out of nowhere and do something unexpected for this team this year?
I think it's going to be a backline guy in either Kevin Klein or Rafael Diaz. They're going to step up, because Rafael Diaz, when the Rangers went to the finals, he was a deadline pickup, and the Rangers used him to give their big four some rest, and he was an unsung hero, and those are the good players that you want on defense, are the guys that will fly under the radar but will do their job. A guy like a Kevin Klein, who when he missed, you know, however many games it was last year, the Rangers' defense suffered. So this year, I think you could see Klein kind of step up and become a bit more of an offensive defenseman. I would not be surprised to see Klein score between 10 and 20 goals this year.
I've heard a lot of good things about him, and to me, as you said, he came in at the end of the year and he was a factor, and that, I think that's going to be a big issue as long as their back line stays healthy. I think the Rangers are going to be a tough team to beat. Andrew, listen, I appreciate you coming on for a few minutes with us, and if I don't get to talk to you, best of luck in the season, and I know you'll be hopefully crossing the bridge and coming over to see us in Hopog in next August.
Gary, I wouldn't miss it for the world.
All right, my friend. Thank you very much. Hey, first drink's
Thanks
on
for
me.
Having me, guys.
All right, take care, Andrew. Yeah, he was working for a website writing, and he was actually writing some great stuff, not only just hockey, but baseball as well. And I guess the site he was working for folded.
Oh, that's terrible.
But again, if you we still got about 10 minutes left. If you want to come on the show, the number again, 631-888-8811. As we were saying before we went on the commercial break, for the last, for 27 of the last 28 years, I've attended this National Hockey League Booster Club Convention, which started in 1971 in St. Louis with six teams getting together. And basically, it was just a real conference, meeting about what fan clubs can do to help their NHL team teams at the time. And what it's turned out to be over the last 45 years, and again, I've been to 20, this is my 27th year going, what I consider it now as a 200-plus person extended dysfunctional family reunion.
It is dysfunctional.
We're all dysfunctional. But the best thing about it is you have an affiliation, but you leave your affiliation at the door, okay? As Andrew said, Ranger fans, and Jim said, Ranger fans, Islander fans, you know, L.A., Anaheim, which came back to our organization this year, and San Jose fans all together having beers, having a fun time. You know, it's like meeting your cousins again. You know, it's just, you know, you walk into the convention hotel, and I'd say within 2 minutes of us walking into the hotel, there's like five people that hugged us. You know, it's like, oh, we haven't seen you in a year, and it's a great environment. It's completely social. Like I said, it was in Nashville, but run by the Detroit Red Wing fan club.
Wow.
Nashville does not have a recognized fan club in our organization. They did at one point, but it ceased to exist. What these fan clubs, booster clubs are organizations that are not run by their parents' clubs. So, in other words, we are independently operated from the NHL club teams that we support. There are clubs in this organization, and I've mentioned it before, that haven't had hockey teams in decades. For example, as I mentioned with Brad, the California Golden Seals. Okay, they still have people coming. They still have a recognized booster club that has been going on since 1970, I believe. You have people, they didn't come this year, but they're coming, I know, next year from the Cleveland Barons, the Hartford Whalers. Okay, Minnesota North Stars. I mean, so, and, you know, the old Winnipeg Jets. It's a great way of meeting people and talking about the game we love. And I mentioned in past shows that actually next season, next August, it is going to be held at the Hyatt Regency Long Island in Hop Hog. And I had the pleasure of getting up on stage at a meeting in front of 200 plus people and presenting our convention for next year. So next year people will be flying into Islip MacArthur Airport. And coming over to the hotel, which is not too far from you, and spending a week with us, and we're gonna do some pre-week trips, like we're gonna do a trip to 9/11 and the museum and the tower and Little Italy and all that stuff, and we're gonna do a trip to the wineries, and we're gonna go to maybe see a ball game and possibly do some other events, and again, just a dysfunctional family reunion. We know that in 2017 it'll be in Los Angeles. The Kings fan club is hosting it, which will be fun. And we had it there a few years back. We're going back again. We just had Ann and I be recognized in our organization. We had people from Columbus come back. They were gone for a couple of years, but they've come back, and they're looking to host. So it'll be the
it's a great thing.
It's a great environment, and hopefully we'll get you to come for the weekend and hang out with us. Because John's a card-carrying member still.
That's right.
And, you know, it's great because especially if you know, like you, like me, we go on our road trips and go to different places. So, you know, if there's a fan club there, at least you tell them, you know, like we go to we've gone to Jersey and we met with the Devil fan club, and we've gone to Washington and hung out with the Caps fan club, you know. So you always know somebody there. So you don't feel like you're always all alone. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you go to places, you've been to other arenas outside of the Nassau Coliseum.
Yep.
You know, when you go there in your gear, you know, being in a foreign land, if you will, sometimes you get a little bit of a stink eye. Good thing you don't have to see it. but, you know, you do get some. But at least, you know, in this case, if you know somebody there, And, you know, it's always nice to get a connection. And if you're hanging out with people from that their fan club or whatever, it's sometimes you don't get as much of a rest because, you know, hey, they know who you are.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and it's a good thing. You know, you either meet for a drink or, you know, you have a meal with them or just even just to say hello. It's nice to know that, you know, that you got friends in foreign places. But like I said, I'm going to be hosting the convention, and my wife, since she's president of the Islander Booster Club, is actually the person in charge of the NHLBC organization. So you know, if something happens to our marriage, we're in trouble. But I don't think that's not going to be an issue. That's for sure. But you know, so we got about 5 minutes left. Again, as I mentioned, our next show, John and I, will be on September 20th, and I think we're going to try to make arrangements that we'll do a conference call with Gar Snow before camp actually starts, so we can get a little perspective before the guys take to the ice. I think they're having their camp at Twin Rinks because I don't think Kaniak's ready yet for hockey. So it looks like it'll be in the Twin Rinks facility over across the street at Eisenhower Park. And October 9th, obviously, the home opener, 58, I think it's 55 days away because somebody put on Facebook that it's Johnny Boychuk days left. we're going to be 55 days away in Brooklyn. Again, getting used to saying that, and it's very difficult, but it is what it is. They're still here. You know, John and I are still going to be faithful Islander fans, whether we're going to the games or not.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, Garth, if you're listening, believe me, we're still with you. Regardless if we're not there, we're there in spirit. And I know a lot of Islander fans will be, and they're going to get a lot of new Islander fans. And, you know, you can only hope that a winning team and a team on the rise, as I think this team is, I'm not going to say an elite team because I opened my mouth and said elite, and some people kind of reminded me about it. And, you know, I had to eat a little crow, and that's fine. But I believe this team is still improving.
Yeah,
I think this team will challenge for the division. The Rangers are not going to be an easy task. The Capitals are not going to be an easy task. Even Philadelphia, you know, teams like that, they're always going to give the Islanders fits. So, I mean, you know, it's not – and Columbus, to me, had a great second half with all the injuries, how decimated they were all season long. I think they've improved, and they're going to be tough.
They're going to be
they're going to be as tough of a team as any team in the division.
I think
we didn't mention
that.
They're
going to surprise people.
They certainly will, and they really did in the last few
they won quite a bit.
They did.
Last month or two.
If you go back and you look at the stats, I believe they were the second most points
right.
in the second half of the season, and that's got to scare all these other teams, you know. And so, like I said, nothing's going to be easy. All we can hope now, now just switching gears and looking at the rest of New York sports, as Met fans, you know, we hope they're going to build on this road trip. Two games in Baltimore, three games in Colorado, and four games in Philly. Philly's played the best since the second half. You hope they can do what they did to them a couple of weeks ago and did some damage. The Yankees, again, they're going to be in a dogfight with the unbelievable Toronto Blue Jays over the next 50 games. And as far as football's concerned, we hope there's no other football player on the Jets or Giants that either gets punched out or loses another finger or anything else, because football season is going to blow in New York the way it's going right now. And that's all I'm going to leave it at. Let's not even bother talking about football. Maybe the guys that are coming on after us, you know, well, hopefully Jake and Dan may be talking about the Mets, the Giants, or Jets. We're not going to, but like I said, our next show is going to be on September 20th, and again, we will have Gar Snow, and we will take calls. Hockey season's coming, so that means John and I's thoughts are going to be turning to orange and blue again. But you know, maybe we might have a Met playoff possibility.
Yeah.
We're crossing our fingers. 4.5 game lead with 47 games to go. You know, you can only wish for other good things to happen. But John, it was nice having you back. Like I said, I think I'm going to be flying solo that day, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, for the 20th, I'm going to be in.
Where are you going to be?
I'm going to be in Hawaii.
Hawaii. Okay. Yeah, so you know what? We can still get you on a conference call in Hawaii. We'll work
that
out. Yeah, I think Garth will rub it in on you, too. So.
Probably.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's okay.
Believe me, that's no worries. So, like I said, make sure you tune in to the second hour of Sports Talk 1240. Jake Asman and Dan Budick are going to be in the 9 o'clock hour to talk more New York sports. Again, the number to reach them is 631-888-8811. Thanks to Brian Graves. Always excellent job on the back of the glass here. John, thank you again for another great hour of Sports
Talk.
Thank you. And for John, this is Gary Harding. In the words of my great friend Bill Hayes, keep skating, everybody. We'll see you soon on Sports Talk 1240 WGBB.
Views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.